click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Time to talk more company results now, and this time with the Group Financial Officer of Motus, a key business that really plays within the motor industry and many other places within automotive in South Africa. Reflecting on the company's results, where revenue increased by 7%, EBITDA margin up by 3%, operating profit decreased by 4%. Lots of moving parts, but of course, to help talk us through the numbers and make sense of a few bolt-on acquisitions that have also taken place in recent history, we joined by the Group CFO of Motus, Brenda Bagenet. Brenda, thank you so much for your time this evening. Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you so much, Gugulethu, and good afternoon to you and your listeners. Thank you for the opportunity.
Fantastic. Excited to talk through the numbers with you because there's been, I guess, interesting dynamics at play, right, regarding the different pillars of the business and how they've performed. And of course, that against the macroeconomic environment that we find ourselves against. Maybe let's talk about some of these particular outcomes. Cash flow is looking a lot stronger. Revenue also up. Overall, really does seem as though it's been a very resilient set of numbers.
Yeah, Gugulethu, our revenue was actually down 1% year on year. But if we normalize for a disposal of our business in the UK, revenue was actually up 1% year on year. Now, what largely underpinned the results was a very strong financial performance in the second half of the year. And that culminated in our cash flow from operations increasing by 60%, which we see as quite significant in the current operating environment. So that increase in our cash flow from operations was largely driven by higher profitability that was coming through, increased sales, particularly in the South African environment, as well as a better management of our working capital numbers. So overall, we're very pleased, but it was really due to a refocus of the organization in the second half of the year.
100%. Thanks for that correction there. I realized I was actually quoting numbers from 2024. So an error there in terms of some of the outcomes there. Let's continue taking a look at some of the key themes that really do stand out as well in terms of your operations and the environment. And we can't ignore the macroeconomic factors that also contribute to this. Ongoing pressures regarding inflation as well as interest rates. You're the numbers person, the numbers girl. And I'm quite keen to understand what kind of influence this has had on your strategy when it comes to not only capital allocation, but also debt-raising initiatives.
Yeah, so let's start with South Africa. So we've seen quite a buoyant vehicle market in South Africa, particularly over the past 6 months, where consumers are starting to feel some relief from the interest rate reductions, a bit of disposable income becoming available. And what we are seeing is that our vehicle sales, particularly in the entry level, has increased. So we are enjoying that bit of appetite that's coming from the consumer base. However, we are still seeing our consumers in South Africa still, you know, being cautious around purchasing of luxury vehicles. So a large portion of our sales are on the entry-level models. In the UK, slightly different story, much softer economy, and we are seeing our passenger sales coming under pressure. However, we do have quite a big commercial truck business in the UK that we are deriving quite a significant benefit. So we continue to benefit from that overall commercial truck business in the UK. In Australia, we also seeing a slightly softer economy, but they are holding on to their own and effectively delivering quite a solid contribution to our overall results. So when we stand back and we actually look at the economics and how it's actually playing in, is that from a capital allocation perspective, we are looking at smaller bolt-on acquisitions, particularly looking at how do we expand on the Chinese brand representation in all the geographies that we participate in, and also looking at, for example, electric vehicles in the UK, given that change in the legislation. You know, how do we start to get more of those brands in? What is good to see in our results is that we have used a lot of the cash that was generated during the year to pay down debt. And our net debt to EBITDA has reduced significantly from 1.9 times last year to 1.5 times in the current year, which is higher and better than expectations. So very pleased with where we've ended up at the end of the year.
100%. I do want us to take a look at the environment in South Africa, and specifically focused on consumers. We often speak to our listeners around their vehicle buying trends. We take a look at other companies within the market, whether it's financiers or those who actually track our spending behavior. And one thing that has been quite certain has been the penetration of Chinese dealerships within the local environment. I'm quite keen to understand and unpack from a Motus perspective, you know, what that experience has been like. And as you've mentioned and alluded to, trying to ensure that you have more of those brands represented in your dealer network. What's that looking like and what does it mean for the consumer? consumer? What does it also mean in terms of potentially a shift that we're witnessing in terms of vehicle taste in the country?
Yeah. So for us, it has been quite a deliberate attempt to increase the Chinese representation in our stable of vehicles. And in South Africa, looking outside of the importers, we have about 18% currently in that we've acquired in the current year. So there's about an 18% representation, which we are looking to grow over the next few months. So we've also just recently acquired a Chery brand in a metropolitan area. And as we start to look at increasing the penetration into the Chinese vehicle market, we believe that we'll be able to attract a lot more volumes. However, what we've also been doing is working with our current OEMs to be able to look at how do we bring in attractive vehicles that can equally compete with the Chinese, both in terms of affordability, but also in terms of features. And hence you see, whether you look at Hyundai, Kia, Renault as the example, we're starting to see a lot more model launches coming in that equally presents an opportunity for customers to purchase.
100%. I'm also quite keen to see if you've finding opportunity to actually pick up a lot of the privately owned dealerships. From what we see in some of our data, it does seem as though those numbers have been under pressure. Any opportunity for you to, I guess, take them under your wing?
Yeah, so currently we are talking to a number of partners to be able to acquire those dealerships, but it does take quite a long time to be able to negotiate those type of agreements. But we add it, and it really is part of our capital allocation plan to be able to expand our presence within the Chinese brands.
Got you. Just on that, I guess, you know, what does go into those agreements? Many of us as South Africans just, you know, interact with these brands and dealer networks from a transactional point of view. But give us some context regarding, you know, the multitude of factors that needs to be discussed to actually see these contracts go through.
So a lot of it is around price calculator, because given the more mature Chinese brands, they do demand quite a big premium that we would call goodwill in our books. And it's really around price. Second is also around position, right, in terms of geographical representation. Do we look at metropolitan areas? Do we look at rural areas? And how can we actually multi-franchise? For us is when we bring a new brand into our stable, we actually want to make sure that we can deliver a healthy margin. And that looks at the multi-franchise model, where we would not put a dealership to stand on its own, but actually start to share a dealership presence with the other more mature brands as well. So that's part of the conversation, standalone versus multi-franchise, and price that plays quite a significant component.
100%. Let's take a look at operations outside of South Africa now. I understand that these typically contribute close to upwards of 40-45% to revenue, as well as your growth within the business. Help us understand if you are finding any sweet spots across the rest of the continent, and of course the growth opportunities that you touched on in markets like Australia and Asia.
Yeah, so within the UK business, what we are finding is that given the softer economy, is that customers are holding onto their cars for longer. That creates quite an attractive opportunity for our aftermarket parts business, which you see has grown quite significantly over the past year. So that is definitely a growth path for us. And we have introduced a private label product into that market where the acceptance has been phenomenal. So we see growth opportunities to be able to now grow the aftermarket parts business. We've established and operationalized warehouses both in Poland as well as in the UK, and those warehouses are now being used as distribution points into the adjacent territories. So we're very excited with the aftermarket parts business and believe that there could be further opportunity to be unlocked in that area. Mm-hmm. If we turn to Australia, so there we would look at expanding our dealership presence, also around how do we bring in more Chinese brands to make sure that we are meeting the customers' needs and preferences. So that's overall where we see ourselves, but really the growth agenda is going to come from aftermarket parts.
Let's talk about that, right? Because as you say, a lot more consumers holding on to their vehicles for a lot longer. That's also a trend we've seen in South Africa, as you've mentioned, seen in the UK. What does that mean, especially within the context of new energy vehicles, rather, and also ensuring that you capacitate your networks and dealer networks with enough coverage of the necessary parts, support, and skills and technology to actually provide the necessary after sales market support?
Yeah, that's a great question, because effectively within the aftermarket parts service offering, it caters for both your normal petrol diesel, what we refer to as ICE engines, as well as the electric vehicles. So we believe that over time we'll be able to service that market as it starts to transition into EVs. And I think when we stand back and we look at EVs, electric vehicles, they're extremely dependent on brake pads given the sizing of the vehicles, etc. And that's a market we are playing into. So we believe that even as the market transitions into electric, we will be well poised to be able to deliver on that demand as well. Interestingly, you raise around South Africa, you'll see that we have grown our profits in the aftermarket parts business in South Africa quite substantially. And for our listeners, that's often what you would know as Midas. And what we've seen is that we've now tapped into the informal sector as well, where we have mechanics that operate in informal markets. Yes. And we've created a channel through WhatsApp where we are now delivering parts directly to these mechanics, so they don't have to travel, and they now can earn loyalty points, vouchers, etc., to be able to grow their businesses even further. So that is delivering exceptional results for us, and we believe again that's an untapped opportunity that can just deliver further benefits.
I'm probably going to steal a minute here, but is this a reflection of how a shift in policy like RDR, if I'm not mistaken, that actually speaks to the after sales market and the independent players that you are referencing in our townships? Is this what essentially does then play an influence in having a greater impact on the broader economy?
Yeah, so this was something that came out of our innovation pipeline, where we saw an opportunity to serve that informal sector. And indeed, you know, all the things that you've mentioned around being allowing these mechanics to develop, allowing these mechanics to actually grow, and it's exactly playing into that space that you've just described.
100%. The word I was looking for is the retail distribution review. I think that's the policy shift and framework that actually contributed there, if I'm correct.
Yeah. So that was part of the thinking that went into the, you know, the think tank approach that we adopted from an innovation perspective.
Yes.
But really, we are excited that there's been such great feedback from the quasi, we call them quasi mechanics, effectively, because now they have parts that they can easily access and even on terms as well. So that's just fantastic.
100%. Brenda, we'll leave it there for today, but so exciting speaking to you. Looking forward to speaking to you again in the next 6 months when we unpack the results. So thank you again for your time this evening.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Take care.
Brenda Vajnat is Group Chief Financial Officer of Motus.
Kaya Biz with Google Tumfupi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.